That's
a
required thing.
These men at the Stroh's PBR.
We're going to get started. We'll call the Government Ops Committee meeting to order. The time is 12:59. We're a minute early. That's never happened before. roll call.
Congresswoman Whitehorn. Congressman Norris.
Here.
Congressman Supernall.
Here.
Congressman Tillman.
Here.
Congressman Walker.
Here.
Congresswoman Bufflehead.
Present.
Here.
Candy, will you lead us in a prayer, please?
Yes.
Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this beautiful spring day that you've given us. I thank you, Lord, for this beautiful Osage County where we live and all the various and different people that live here. And I ask you, Lord, just to watch over Congress and help them and guide them and lead them with wisdom as they make their decisions. And the Appropriations Committee today and the Government Ops Committee today, Lord, just be with them. Help them have a clear vision for the Osage Nation. And I speak blessings, Lord, and prayers for all those that are serving our country in the United States and out of the United States. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Next item on the agenda is approval of minutes.
April 10th.
Is there a second? Motion on the floor is a second. All those in favor signify by saying yes.
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 Motion carries. Next item on our agenda. Where is Congressman Supernall up to?
It's making.
It's ONCA 1749, an act to amend the Open Meetings Act of 15 ONC Section 7-107. To require executive sessions to be recorded by the body and to prohibit public bodies from excluding elected officials from executive session on a limited basis and to establish an alternate effective date. The sponsor is Congressman Supernall. You have the floor, sir.
Okay. I guess, has everybody still got a copy from the last meeting?
Yeah.
I'm looking at it.
We have it up on the screen.
Oh, okay. There's I've talked this over with the executive, and they have a recommended amendment. I'll pass it down.
Who? The executive? Raymond?
Yeah.
The executive.
However, I'm not... I want to discuss it with the committee because I think we got a kind of a problem with this amendment as it's written. I think we need to be able the legislative branch needs to be able to exclude the executive branch and judicial branch from executive sessions in the case of legal matters. I mean, I wouldn't know why why we would want to be precluded from that. But this amendment, if we take it as it is, would take away our ability to exclude them from matters having to do with attorney-client privilege, I think. Did you thought about that?
Yes.
So you wanted to be in those sessions so we're talking about legal matters?
Well,
Assistant Principal Chief.
Is that what the bill says now? Is that it excludes just for attorney-client privilege? Because the chief said he was okay with that, but I don't think that's what the bill says right now.
No, it's broader than that. It says that's what I'm wanting to discuss.
Well, there's no discussion. We will accept a provision that says that the Congress has the right to exclude other people in attorney-client privilege. It happens to be one of the exceptions I discussed with Chief Standing there when we talked about it.
So, the only problem that I've had, others may have had a different experience, but one of the problems I've had from being excluded from executive sessions is with the Enterprise Board. And there have been times when Minerals has asked us to leave, but then there's been other times when they've asked us to participate. And I haven't really had any problem with Minerals. I don't know what the rest of you think.
Well, my understanding of the amendment that you presented, that we're looking at, is that it's striking the language that says the legislative branch may exclude executive branch and judicial branch elected officials from executive sessions. They want that language stricken. So we would not have the ability to do so at all by this amendment. So if we were talking about an issue that falls under the categories of the reasons 1 through 8 here, that we wouldn't be able to, in our personnel matters, we wouldn't be able to exclude the assistant principal chief if he was there, or the chief from our personnel matters. We wouldn't be able to exclude them if we were having an executive session discussing legal advice. We wouldn't be able to exclude the executive branch if we were discussing a criminal matter. We wouldn't be able to exclude if we were talking about real property. If we were talking about intergovernmental relationships, we wouldn't be able to exclude anybody from the executive branch on that discussion in executive session.
No, I think this pertains to elected officials.
Right. We would not be able to. It says elected officials of the Osage Nation shall not be excluded from executive sessions held by boards, subsidiary boards, organized under the Article 7, Section 14 of the Osage Constitution. If we accepted the amendment, that's what it would say. It would strike the language that says, except that the legislative branch may exclude executive branch and judicial branch elected officials from executive session. So what I'm saying is, if we'd accept that amendment, all of those instances that I just read, we would not be able to exclude an elected official like the assistant chief or the chief from congressional executive sessions, which I think that there would be a need to in some of those instances. So I'm opposed to the amendment as it's written and presented. That's my, I don't know if I was clear on that or not.
Assistant Principal Chief?
This is the bill.
Did he file?
Yes,
the original?
He filed. This is the original bill. This is up on the screen right here.
Okay.
And right here. this is how it currently reads, that we may exclude the executive branch and judicial branch elected officials from our executive sessions. These are the reasons why you can call an executive session. So that means that in personnel matters, legal advice, criminal matters, real property, intergovernmental relations, that there would be no way we could ask the assistant chief to leave our executive session if because the law doesn't state so.
Assistant principal chief.
Sure, we could ask him.
We've been asked repeatedly to leave executive sessions, and we also honored it. The only exception, and there was only one that I'm aware of, was when I was asked to leave an executive session that was occurring in the committee of the whole. The Constitution says that the assistant principal chief has the right to attend committee of the whole. So, in order to be, I never intended to stay for that, but because it was a situation where the Constitution spoke to, I raised my hand and simply said, I only want the record to show that I'm waiving my right to be in the committee of the whole in this instance, and that was accommodated, and I left. I understand exactly where you're going with this, but as I explained to Congressman Supernaw when we made this suggestion, is this hasn't been an issue. This is one of those situations where putting this in law might cause more problems than are being caused, but we agree with Congressman Supernaw that his initial motivation to file this bill, we agree with. We believe elected officials should sit on enterprise boards or be able to go into those executive sessions for enterprise boards and those sub-boards. We agree with that. But anything else beyond that addresses a problem that, as far as we can tell, does not exist. Congress has been perfectly able for more than 10 years to say, we're calling executive session, everybody leave, and everybody leaves. That's it. Your members. And I'm an ex officio member, so I don't fall into that category. I just think when we add language like that, we might create more problems than we solve. Nobody's trying to get into your executive sessions.
Thank you for that clarification. Sure. I appreciate it, because that amendment says that to me since the proposed amendment to the law states otherwise. So I have a clear meaning of that now.
Congressman Walker.
Was a similar amendment attempted a couple years ago?
It was
a similar amendment.
Yeah, attempted? It was in a bill that was vetoed.
Give up. May I continue?
Yes.
Well, I remember that, and I remember.
It's her bill.
Okay. Well, I remember voting against it then, and it wasn't because it's her bill.
Well, that was a good reason.
Yeah, it would be a good reason, but that wasn't the reason. The reason that I voted against it then was I feel like it should be the discretion of the chair to ask members of either the board, whether it be the chairman of a committee, the Congress, whatever, only the members of that particular board can stay. To me, that facilitates courageous, open, honest dialogue. I think I personally want the boards to be able to have that type of, I'm not going to say protection, but ability to have those types of the closed door meetings amongst only their small unit. And more importantly, you know, not just because that's my opinion, but anything that they discuss in executive session, they can only take action in open. So if they've done something behind closed doors that we were excluded, they can't then come out of executive session to make some secretive action. That would have to be done out in the open. So I think chairs of our boards, sub-boards, whatever, they should have the ability and the discretion to ask whoever they want to leave except their unit. That's just how I feel about it.
I basically said the same thing the other day. There are parts. This is one of those bills where I'm for almost all of it except for one little part. I don't think that I'm going to vote no against it just because of this one part I may not agree with. But I do think that there is something to be said for having good dialogue amongst your colleagues that you work with that is just them. And I know I, in the past, have appreciated when we have moved everyone out of the chambers and had just dialogue amongst my colleagues. And I don't know that the discussions that we've had at the, around the table would have been as good as they were had we had other people been sitting in there. You know, I was just, we were able to speak freely just amongst us, and I appreciate that. There's good stuff comes from that, so I can't, you know, if a board wants to sit there and talk bad about Congress members or the executive branch, that they're you know, they're going to do that if that's what they want to do. I just have to have faith that they're not going to do that. Congressman Supernaw?
Yep.
Do you have anything further?
Oh, yeah. For 11 years, we haven't had any problem with this, but just recently, and it happened twice, that accidentally set in on a executive session where they didn't know that was listening in. But we called in a conference call, it didn't announce us. It wasn't just me, there were others. But they were talking about things that fit the exceptions. They're abusing the open session law, I mean executive session law, and they were talking about, one of the things was, how can we legally exclude Congress from our executive session? And they went through that exercise, and then they called in their attorney, and the attorney said, well, you can do it this way, but my recommendation is that politically, and he didn't say stupid, but that's what he meant. He said, that's not the thing to do. Politically, it's not going to fly. But anyway, that's the reason it's come up. So I found out that it's been, the executive session law is being abused, and unfortunately, we didn't have anyone on any of those committees that felt like they should report it, you know. I would think, if I was sitting in on an executive session and something like that happened, I would feel obligated to either not vote on it when it came out or report it. So anyway, my dilemma right here is, would this clause be acceptable? Because with that in there, the chief would sign the bill. I mean, I think he would. He said he would.
Okay, Congresswoman Martin. Are we ready to amend the bill to include that amendment?
I mean, are you ready?
I make the motion if you want to, or you can make the motion.
Okay.
Move to amend ONCA 1794 at, is it page one? No.
Page two.
Line 80, strike subsection E, and insert E. Elected officials of the Osage Nation shall not be excluded from executive sessions held by boards or subsidiary boards organized under Article 7, Section 14 of the Osage Constitution. Is there a second?
Yes.
Second. Motion on the floor with a second. All those in favor, discussion?
Discussion. Now, if we pass this, then this will prevent enterprise boards from excluding us from executive session, but the Minerals Council could still exclude us if they wanted to, and I guess other boards that have executive sessions would still be able to exclude us. Well, that's my understanding, not what you want.
And is that what we want? Do we want the health authority board to be able to exclude us from their executive sessions? Do we want the other commissions to be able to do so? Do we want the gaming commission to be able to exclude us from executive? So that's my question also in this discussion, because I don't.
Assistant Principal Chief?
I'm sorry, can you clarify that very last part of it? You
I do not want them to be able to exclude us from executive sessions, the gaming commission, health authority board.
Okay.
Those are even more intricately woven into the fabric of the nation because they are governmental boards.
I understand. May I read from the piece of paper I gave you there? No, the other one.
Oh. Yeah, some of my stuff's kind of a stretch, I think.
Okay.
I didn't read it. I mean, I didn't read that.
It's okay. I'll defer to Dr. Shaw if he wishes to speak.
That may be a moment to study the next. Anyway, so I guess I thought it did include those other boards and commissions, so I guess I'm misunderstanding. What boards is this limited to if it passes?
Congressman Walker.
It references Section 14 of Article 7, I believe. Article 7,
board.
Section 14, and that's specific to tribal enterprise boards. Section 14.
Well, I have an amendment to the amendment.
Congressman Whitehorn?
Well, I'd like my turn first.
Okay.
Please.
Go ahead.
Well, there's a couple of points I'd like to make.
Go ahead.
From the executive point of view. So, I'll take with a grain of salt Congressman Supernova's idea that these are far-fetched. Actually, maybe some of them are, some of them I'm pretty sure are not.
I didn't say far-fetched.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
A
stretch.
A stretch.
Okay. I'm sorry. distinction noted. If an elected official improperly interfered with the business of a board or commission, that board or commission wished to meet to discuss whether to take a group action to declare that interference to the AG or to file an ethics complaint or something like that, that very accused elected official, be they in the executive branch or the legislative branch, could just go sit right down in that meeting and refuse to leave. Also, I've already mentioned the constitutional right of the assistant principal chief to participate in committee of the whole. The existence of the Minerals Council's independent status under the Constitution and how that independence would be affected. Just to bring up a possibility, the necessity of the Osage News editorial board to confidentially discuss matters related to publishing articles unfavorable to elected officials in either branch of government, and having a law require them to admit those same elected officials to a meeting. And the possibility that a personnel matter related to a friend or relative of an elected official, and there's 14 of us, needed to be held by a board, like the Home Health Board or the Gaming Commission, where there's lots of employees, and they have a personnel issue that has to do with your brother or your niece or my nephew or something, and that person can force their way into that meeting and situate themselves, and they cannot be extracted. So I'm a little bit back to the same arguments you were making about why the Congress would need to exclude people. There are legitimate reasons why those other boards would not need to exclude them. So,
Congresswoman Whitehorn?
Well, just as you said earlier, I don't think that we've had situations that have called for that. That's what you said earlier. There has not been situations that... when Congress has wanted to go into executive session and the chair has asked a member of an elected official of the executive branch to leave, that we've not had that problem that you didn't leave. Whereas I don't believe in the other instance, what you're talking about there, that I don't believe any elected official would insist on staying if it was improprietous for them to stay in that executive session. In fact, when I go to board meetings and they call an executive session, I always defer to the chair whether they would like for me to leave. And a lot of times when they're going into executive session for personnel matters, even if I don't know what the personnel matter is, I get up and leave. I think we all have the good judgment as elected officials and under the code of ethics of the Osage Nation to conduct ourselves in professional ways. So I think that we're having the same argument too. I agree with you.
Okay. Assistant Principal Chief?
Because yes, I think we are agreeing. But that's why we would prefer to leave the bill silent on the issue, because everybody is behaving. Right now, the way it's written, everybody's on good behavior. So far.
Committee, I'm not trying to rush you. I just want to give you an update. It's 1:25. We're scheduled till 3. We can't run over because there's another meeting after us. We have 3 more pieces of legislation. Just want to give you an update of where we're at. Congresswoman Edwards and Congresswoman Whitehorn.
I just want to say that I have been to probably 3, maybe 4 meetings where executive sessions happened, where the subject was not properly an executive session. And I notified the AG and indicated, I think you might want to consider having an update on what's properly the subject of executive sessions, because it wasn't on the agenda, what they were talking about. What they were talking about wasn't proprietary or met one of the criteria. And I don't know if I would have not been there, how we would even have known that was happening. So I just think it's a check and balance to some extent. And, you know, all those boards don't exactly, and to my impression, don't all understand what is proper in executive session and what isn't. We've had the benefit of many years of thinking about it, so.
I agree with that. There might be, and as often as sometimes some of them change chairs and people are new leaders in their position, well, maybe there needs to be a training on it. Once a year, a refresher on what's, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Congresswoman Whitehorn and Congressman Walker.
2 things. I believe that when we send out our packets for board appointees, that boards of commission, and do we also send them the Open Meetings Act in that packet?
All that's in there is the ethics law, because that's directly addressed in the questionnaire.
Well, maybe we ought to include that Open Meetings Act is sent to our appointees. And that way they'll have that information, what's acceptable in the conduct of our meetings, and they'll have the law right there at their fingertips if they've been considered to be on one of these boards. I'd like to go ahead and make an amendment to the amendment, if I may.
I'm going to let Congressman Walker he's been waiting, and then if you would hold off just 1 second.
Sure.
Congressman Walker.
Well, based on the previous comments by Congresswoman Edwards, it almost seems that to Congresswoman Whitehorn's point just now about sending them the Open Meetings Act, I mean, I think there's definitely instances that the specificity provision that was sponsored by Congressman Shaw is not being properly followed. Now, the thought that a good reason to incorporate this into the law is so that we can go into meetings and determine whether or not their discussions meet the law or not, because we're seasoned veterans. I disagree with that. So anyway, that's all I've got for now.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
I'd like to make an amendment to the amendment. On the second, after the word boards, insert a period and strike the rest of the line. So it would read, elected officials of the Osage Nation shall not be excluded from executive sessions held by boards or subsidiary boards.
Is there a second?
Well, with that amendment, there's no need to strike the current bill reporting, is there?
Congresswoman Whitehorn, or Congresswoman Edwards?
I didn't have a second on the motion. Are we discussing?
No, we're not actually discussing.
Okay.
There's no second.
Okay, well, we can still talk about it, I guess. We're talking about.
Oh, you're talking about the bill. Never mind.
I didn't understand Congress Supernaw's question. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought he was referencing the existing law. He's referencing the existing proposed bill.
Okay, yeah. Well, there was no second to that amendment to the amendment.
I'll second so you can talk about it.
Congresswoman Whitehorn, then Congresswoman Edwards.
Yep. Look at E now. You're just kind of putting it back to E, I think.
Well, I'm not the exception that the legislative branch may exclude the executive branch and the judicial branch elected officials from the executive sessions. That's still not in there. It's resetting it to say, elected if you'll read your amendment, put a period after the word boards, and it says elected officials of the Osage Nation shall not be excluded from executive sessions held by boards or subsidiary boards, period. It doesn't have the language in there about except that legislative branch may exclude executive branch and judicial branch elected officials from executive session. Because this amendment strikes the whole subsection E.
Congresswoman Edwards.
I read the amendment to me, you can tell me whether this is what you mean, that they're not, you can't be excluded from boards. You can be excluded from council, i.e. the Minerals Council, but you can't be excluded from boards, and as far as I know, everything that we have, the health authority has a board. The gaming commission has a board. So everything else is a board, except the Minerals Council is a council.
Right.
So
it doesn't apply to that.
That's what I read out of that.
Mm-hmm. System Principal Chief.
2 points. If you write the law that way, you're certainly going to draw into question whether the gaming commission is or is not included. Because even Congress constantly use the term boards and commissions as if they are two different things.
No, we've stricken that.
And I think the executive branch is going to have problems with it, and that's what Congressman Supernaw and I were trying to avoid, but that's not nothing. That's not going to be the case.
Congressman Supernaw, and then we're going to get to
you. So if we pass this amendment, I think it satisfies most of us except RJ, and we'll have to override a veto, and if we do it today, get it out Monday.
Well, from what I hear, Assistant Chief saying that they want it to be specific to Article 7, Section 14 boards, which would completely exclude any governmental board that wouldn't be included in that language, and I don't know if that's what he wants, us to be excluded from governmental boards, but that's what this law does, this amendment does to the law.
System Principal Chief.
There's three different things in here. There's the way the law is now, there's the amendment, which we said we would agree to, and now you've eliminated part of the issues we had and left part of the issues we had, and that's the only reason I'm raising my hand and saying we're probably going to have an issue over the executive branch with it. We don't have the other one because I cleared it with the chief. We're all on the same page. If Congress believes now, after 10 years, that you need to have the right to sit in on those board meetings, if you choose to, then we're probably going to have an issue with that. I can't predict. I'll have to talk to chief about it. So it's
I would just like to add that, I mean, now is that we have the time set aside. If we want to spend 2 hours on this bill, the committee has the right to do that. My preference is to not have to override a veto because, number one, you've got 1, 2, 3 people in here, members of Congress, that haven't weighed in on this discussion at all. So you don't know that you have the votes to override a veto. And if we can come to some sort of compromise, to make sure that it passes and that the chief signs it, then obviously that's the way to go. And I guess we'll have to ask ourselves, is this amendment to the amendment more important than the rest of the bill of what the sponsor had in mind when he wrote it, which is to record executive sessions and the other pieces of information in that bill that are important to him. So Congresswoman Whitehorn, then Congressman Walker.
Well, the Article 7, Section 14 specific language makes that very specific, unlike the law sits currently, and I don't believe that it really does what the sponsor, in my opinion, it doesn't do what the sponsor set out to do. So I would prefer just the law to stay the way it is than to put Article 7, Section 14. I'm one member of Congress. I'm one member of this committee. That's my preference because it changes it in a way that it hasn't ever set on record and on our code and books. So.
Congressman Walker and then Assistant Principal Chief.
Even though I don't completely agree with the Section 7 or the law, if we were to change it, that would prohibit our exclusion from executive session from our tribal enterprise boards, I can rationalize that. I mean, especially considering the history that we've had with unfortunate loss of money through our tribal enterprise boards. That can resonate with me on why we feel like it's important to sit in on their deliberations that happen behind closed doors. But to include the Osage News, the editorial board, that's not compelling to me. And the authority board, I don't see a compelling reason there either. That's just me.
The Health Authority Board, every meeting that I've ever attended, has invited me to stay at meetings. I've chosen not to in their executive sessions. Not every single one of them, but I know that they've always been very accommodating, but it's just... hold on. Congressman Walker and then Assistant Principal Chief and then Congresswoman Edwards.
Thank you. I think there's two issues of fairness here. We're not asking or receiving any right to sit in on any executive sessions of the Congress. That's the executive branch. That's the executive branch. And the reason we're willing to carve this out for the enterprise boards is simple. This Congress has control of all of the dollars spent in the executive branch through appropriation. Complete control. But this Congress does not have complete control over the enterprise boards and how they spend money. And in certain instances, several instances, there are many, many, many more millions of dollars at stake with the enterprise boards than they are with the boards in the executive branch over which you already have spending control. That, to me, is the clearest two reasons that it should be set up this way. There's a very logical reason why members of Congress should be able to sit in where millions and millions and millions of dollars are at stake.
Congresswoman Edwards.
I don't understand why advisory boards, for example, are having executive sessions anyway. I mean, they're really, that was part of my issue, is executive sessions listed and then they're talking about something that's like, well, wait a minute, you don't even have authority over that, so why are you having these executive sessions? I mean,
write a law that prohibits it then.
Well, I think we've got to explore what is the purpose of these boards. And we have a board bill that talks about what the boards are, the purpose is. And I just don't know why every time I look at the election board, for example, it has executive session on it. And well, other than maybe sometime needing to discuss an employment issue, why is there an executive session listed every time they have a meeting? So,
Congressman Walker?
No, nothing.
I think the problem is a little more profound than what we think.
Okay, committee, you have an, Congressman Norris.
I'm in way. Putting pressure on me. I feel as though sitting on the Health and Social Services Committee and attending a meeting, and if the committee or the board calls an executive session, the committee or the legislator in attendance that's on the committee up here should be able to sit in on their executive committee meetings and not be excluded from that. Mm-hmm. Now I think that should be, I don't know if you call it a right, but it should be allowable. Maybe something more stronger than allowable. It ought to be done. If I'm on a committee up here, I'd be able to sit on that executive session wherever I'm being represented or I'm representing.
Thank you, Congressman. We have an amendment to the amendment, and we have a second. I'm going to let Congresswoman Whitehorn have the last word, and then we're voting.
And I agree with you, what you just said, Congressman Norris. That's part of our congressional duties. Yes, we appropriate the money, but if we don't know how these boards are wanting to spend the money, if there's spending or if there's professional fees being discussed in a meeting and we're excluded from that discussion, then we can't make good appropriations decisions. I think we all have the professionalism to exclude ourselves from executive sessions that aren't appropriate for us to sit in, and I think we all do so. If we accept this without the amendment, and I'm not saying this would ever happen, but it's going to be a point in law that the chief of the Osage Nation, whoever he may be or she may be sitting there, could put out an executive memorandum to all of the boards, governmental boards of the nation, that says, in your executive sessions, members of Congress are prohibited in your executive session. And with this being how the law is written, if it's challenged and taken to court or the attorney general needs to write an opinion, that executive memorandum would stand. And I'm not saying that would ever happen. I'm just saying if we put this in as a point of law, that's why I'm suggesting it be stricken. And it just go back to the generic swooping language of letting elected officials sit in on boards and board meetings, executive session board meetings.
Roll call, please.
Congressman Norris?
No.
Congressman Supermiller?
We're doing the amendment to the amendment. Congressman Norris,
that's what you wanted.
If you would read the amendment to the amendment.
That was what you wanted.
You're out of order.
No, you can change your vote if you wish.
You're out of order.
Let's read the amendment to the amendment.
The amendment to the amendment is, after boards, insert a period and strike remainder of sentence.
Okay. Is everyone... Okay.
Read that again. Let me be clear on this.
It's on this right here.
Yeah, it's right here.
After the word boards, insert a period and then strike the remainder of the sentence.
Well, we didn't give everyone a copy of Maria's amendment to the amendment. So everyone would have had to have written that down.
Right, it's really easy.
I did.
Right.
Okay.
I'm still voting no on this.
Okay. Roll call.
Congressman Supernaw.
Yes.
Congressman Tillman.
Yes.
Congressman Walker.
No.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Yes.
Congresswoman Buffalohead.
Yes.
The motion passes. The amendment passes.
Okay, the amendment to the amendment passes. Congressman Supernaw?
Well, now the amendment.
So I'm ready to vote on the amendment.
Okay. Is everyone else ready to vote?
As amended.
As amended.
Roll call.
Congressman Supernaw?
Yes.
Congressman Tillman?
Yes.
Congressman Walker?
Yes.
Congresswoman Whitehorn?
Yes.
Congressman Norris?
Yes.
Congresswoman Buffalohead?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Chair will entertain a motion to report out.
Second.
Motion on the floor has a second. Roll call, please.
What are we moving it?
Oh.
1749 as amended.
With due pass?
Yeah.
Okay. Is there a second?
All right.
I'll withdraw my motion. Let somebody from the committee make it.
Okay.
So moved.
With a due pass recommendation. You have to say that. Someone has to say that. Whoever's making the motion has to say that.
So move with the due pass recommendation.
As amended. Okay, roll call, please.
As amended.
Congressman Tillman?
Yes.
Congressman Walker?
No.
Congresswoman Whitehorn?
Yes.
Congressman Norris?
Yes.
Congressman Supernaw?
Yes.
Congresswoman Buffalohead?
Yes.
There's portions of this bill I don't like, and you know that.
Well, you could have.
You didn't want me to go amending that portion, I know. You know, Shannon did.
Oh, I know that, yeah.
Yes, you know what I'm talking about.
Okay. All right. Thank you, committee. That was long and painful, but we appreciate the 44 minutes of that. ONCA 1739 is an act to authorize and appropriate $26,200 to the legislative branch for cost to publish the Osage Nation Code and to establish an alternate effective date. The sponsor is Congresswoman Edwards. This should be quick.
That's what I'm going to say. There's nothing to it.
This is probably the least controversial bill that you've sponsored.
I don't know. I actually did get a call from the chief who said, well, make sure that you guys get something on the website where you can search the code.
Yes.
And I said, we know. So anyway, this includes, I do believe the language says, well... Online with search capabilities, it sure does. 924.
I'm so looking. What's the number?
Here.
Oh, thank you.
With search.
I have a copy of the bill, Madam Chair.
Yes.
Since she gets to read it.
Go ahead, I can pull it up on my computer. So, may I ask a question while we're...
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
So is that the, did we need any additional funds for the actual publication of the new code books that we have, Congresswoman Edwards? Or is this specifically to get our code where it's searchable and easy to use online? Is that all this 26.2 is for?
It's for bound copies with and online with search capabilities.
I thought we appropriated the, may I speak freely?
Yes.
I thought we appropriated the funds in our legislative budget this fiscal year to print the code. Were we short?
I don't think so. I don't know. But
I thought there was $40,000.
That's not really operating.
17 years stuff.
It's different.
Just now.
I thought it was specific though too.
I don't think there's language in the bill. It might have been in the support documentation, but anyway, this is. Think how much we've changed things in the last
year.
So, I mean, if we somehow have money to go to that point, we need money to go to the next point now. Because I think I remembered something about it, but it was stopping like a year ago, 2 years ago.
So the assistant principal chief.
Dealing with the Congress's work product is pretty much a nightmare from our standpoint. I mean, in this day and age, for us to have to go to three different sources, the original code, a pocket part, and then look online and sift through all the legislation that's been passed since the last pocket part came out, in this day and age, not to mention all of the lawyers that work at the court have to do that.
What you looking for?
On our floor, we have to do that. The AG has to do that. That there's three steps to looking up a law, and there shouldn't be three steps to looking up a law in this nation. You should be able to go online, have it published online, and I'm pretty sure $26,200 is going to probably take care of the publishing, and that's probably all it's going to take care of. Has any member of Congress...
I have gotten a lot of complaints from the constituents and even executive, the same thing.
We've got a lot of complaints to ourselves, yeah. But the problem is you cannot rely on... Our support staff, our clerk, our assistant clerk, to somehow be able to put that online, and apparently it doesn't even work. I mean, our IT department can do that. We need an entity to get us, when we submit every at the end of each session, we need someone to get that in order. So this can go towards that purpose.
The only thing I'm trying to get clear, and we may need the budget analyst, is I know that we have new code books sitting in there, three of them, that we've published. We've recodified, and I think that goes through sometime the end of last year. So my question is, we have new code books. Do you not have your new code books yet? Look, come here, let me show you. Don't look
at them. No, I'm pleading.
We've already done that. So my question is the 26.2... We've already published those. Is the 26.2 for getting our code online, and is that what is necessary to do so? Because I am all for that, because I work elbow deep in our law, and you were talking about having to stop three places. Well, those two of those three places you stop, you might have to make four sub-stops to find out what you're trying to do.
So do you want to strike inbounded copy, and then so it says to carry out the purpose
online.
Of publishing the Osage Nation code and put it with online search capabilities?
Well, we have brand new bound copy, so yeah.
Okay. I'm fine with that.
We don't even have to strike that.
I'll put it in.
We don't need to strike
it. I agree
from,
with that too.
From my experience here, the Legislative Council, who's the same guy that was back here before, and I had long talks about this, and I think if you call him in here and ask him how much it's cost, $26,200 is spit wads at a battleship. And I would just encourage, before you pass this, why don't you, and you're considering changing it to online, which we wholeheartedly support, does anybody care how much it really costs to put it online?
That's why I'm trying to find out the 26-2 number, how we got it. Yes, I do care.
Okay. That's the sponsor.
We appreciate that.
I inquired, and the books that we have go through September 15.
Well, is that enough money to republish books again and get us online? And how do you know?
I don't even think we need to worry about the books. I just think we need to go online.
That's what I said.
Thank you.
As much as this body amends, I think we need to move to online and we need to abandon the books at this point. I think it's a waste of money. I think it's a waste of money. And I think we'll keep amending and amending and amending and amending. I think we should just go online and be done with the books.
Where's the amendments? I'm going to make that clear.
Congressman Walker.
Well, you guys see me on my computer all the time. That is what I use. And the code books are, you know, they're kind of handy. But if we had it online, that would be great. I do recall having this conversation with Trey about going online, and it was very expensive.
For Westlaw to do it, yes, it was. But I don't know what the cost was.
So we have a 26,000, not 25,000, nice round number. This is $26,200. That would appear to me that it's specific to some sort of quote.
Well, I don't know what very expensive is, but in the long run, I feel certain that it's going to be...
I'm all for it.
Okay.
Well, I'm just saying...
Let's put the right dollar in.
We may spend a pretty number at first, but in the end, getting all these... Get codifying in books and inserts and all of that business is going to be far more expensive, I think.
So what does $26,200 represent? I would like to hear from the sponsor. That's kind of a...
Shannon? Trey?
Honey? Yes?
Can Trey come in here?
I guess.
I was just talking to him about where I got that number, and he said he remembers that there was somebody that bid comprehensive publishing and online. But it's a start. If we can't get it for that, then we'll have to come back and amend it.
Okay, Trey.
If you want to amend out the bound copy, I don't have a problem with it at all, because I agree that the online search capabilities are what is important. And he just got the new bound copy, which I didn't realize.
Thanks.
Where's the amendment forms?
Trey. Trey, do you have a number of what it would be for us to go online and eventually just abandon the books?
No, we'll have to get bids. We have had, when we did a request for bid for the last publishing of the code books, there was a company that submitted a proposal that included online. I have what the capabilities of it were. I can't say off the top of my head. I don't know if it had the search function as well. So we could get in contact with them and try to get a number, and then do a bid based on whatever those provisions are.
Congressman Walker?
If we were to appropriate $26,200 for online capability, would you recommend we put a not bound to fiscal year limitations provision in there? I mean, I don't, we're not going to be able to take action. Are we going to be able to get it done with that amount?
October 1st. Look at it this way. If you need more money by September 1st, you can amend it.
Eli.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would just like to point out you have a code fund that you could appropriate this money to.
Excellent.
A code fund?
Yes, it's a revolving fund without fiscal year limitations. So if you just wanted to amend it to put it.
Who started that fund?
I make a motion to postpone to the call of the chair.
Hold on, Congressman Tillman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Trying to grasp what even we're doing there. Mm-hmm. Are these the black books you're talking about? Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay.
And I have a computer too that I'm really liking and learning how to use. That I know we have other members on this Congress, like Congressman Supernaw, that doesn't really utilize that. Well, and so my point is, will there also be, if he needs to have a hard copy, will we at least have one hard copy of this? Or is everything going to be here, and he's going to have to be training to get on here? Or
we'll
I could probably use a training too, or he's wanting to research, or if it's Congressman Mason, no offense. But if you know where I'm going with that? If it's an older member that's not real comfortable with these or these, and schools are all going to Chromebooks. And
We had that, I know where you're going, and I had that concern 4 years ago, 4 years ago, because when I started Congress, we didn't have the wiki and we didn't have our computers out. We had gigantic binders. Who remembers those? They were like this thick, literally, and we all walked around with them. And surprisingly, Congressman Redigal and Sims, they were for going, and even Congressman Mason were for moving more online. It was less of a burden on our staff. It was just a better way to go. And then they kind of picked up and learned and went with the flow. That's been my experience.
I just wanted to make sure that they would be able to utilize it as well.
We'll help Cuggy along.
Well, I'm
he's real savvy.
It's just not working.
He's got a smartphone.
He's got a smartphone now. He does a lot of computer work.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
I just haven't had to in this way.
Internet service goes down or something.
Well, that's something to consider. I mean,
I've seen that happen.
Yeah.
I got the amendments.
Okay. So.
As it stands. We might make that be a rule of Congress that every quarter or biannually they print out a copy of code and have a hard copy of it.
Mm-hmm. So that we have it.
There's ways around.
There's an amendment coming from Congresswoman Edwards, and then I really want us to get on the next two pieces of legislation.
We might consider, since we have guests to represent 1719, to move it up where 1742 is. I don't know what time it is.
Here, I got it.
I think that would be appropriate.
Can I just buy my amendment and see if we can get this done?
Yeah, let's go though.
There's a copy. Move to the following page 1, line 16 and 17, strike legislative branch, and then Minnesota Origination Code Fund. Page 1, line 23 and 24, strike inbounded copies and an insert with.
Is that in the form of a motion?
That's a motion.
Second.
Motion on the floor, the second. I think we've had enough discussion. She's wanting to move this into the Osage Nation Code Fund, the dollars and cents. So.
And I changed it to
instead of inbound copy.
And I changed it to online search.
All those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
No opposed?
Move to report out ONCA 1739 with a due pass recommendation to Congress as amended.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion on the floor, the second. All those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
No opposed? Motion carries. Without objection, we're going to move to item number 8, ONCR 1719. A resolution to support the Osage Nation participation in the BIA Office of Justice Services Court Assessment Program. The sponsor is Congresswoman or Speaker Pratt. Speaker Pratt, you have the floor.
Okay. So, you guys want a copy of the resolution? Okay, whoever needs a copy, there's a copy.
The one page.
Yeah. Pretty short and sweet. So I was party to a conversation with the chief, and the discussion came up again
Congressman Morris.
I've actually, since I've been on Congress, I've heard of this court assessment and the one-time funding that our courts could possibly receive if they were to participate in this Office of Justice Services Court Assessment Program. So the resolution is pretty much says, when you like online, if you go to it and see how to proceed with requesting this one-time funding, the resolution pretty much just mirrors that, but it is a requirement of that the tribal leaders make this request. So in being party to that conversation with the treaty, he agreed, and I agreed to sponsor it, because like I said, I have agreed with that in the past, and just like we assess many other programs and departments around here, also being the one-time funding, there are many, I was also going to sponsor something for the wildland fire, for a ICDBG, so is that one? ICD, okay, I just want to make sure I had the acronym right. And the HAWS defense, because everybody, you know, a lot of trying to get things together to jump on funding that is possibly up for being cut and under the new administration. So this is just something to help the courts out. There are representatives from the BIA who are much more knowledgeable. That's what they do. They're the experts on it. And it's Benny Francisco, for the director of the tribal court assessment at the BIA office, and Melissa Lee, who's the tribal court assessment specialist. So they can speak to this. And I have also, and then Candy is in, Ms. Thomas is in attendance. And she has, that's my understanding, met with them a few days ago. I didn't expect this to be on the agenda as quick as it was last week, so I did inform them that the representatives from the BIA would be here today because they are in the state this week. So they can speak more to this, but I also have spoken with Chief Justice Meredith Drent, and she is aware and also agrees with this resolution. She said she appreciated it and has no problem with it. So anyways, I would like to hear from the BIA representatives, if that's okay with you all at some point.
I would love to hear from the representatives. I understand they have a PowerPoint presentation, or is that correct?
Sorry,
or incorrect?
Would you all like to do your PowerPoint now? Okay, yeah, so you guys have the floor, and then I will get with Shannon on them. I forgot you had mentioned that.
Okay, we'll take just a couple of minutes here to get set up. We're going to move for a 5-minute recess so that we can get set up. Chair will entertain a 5-minute recess.
Just do it without objection.
Okay, without objection.
What did Shannon... Shannon, what did you want when you...